Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, high atop the radio world in beautiful downtown Portland in our Turn It, Don't Burn It studios. We'd like to welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network and our ones down in Texas. And as usual, Camaro Dave is out on the selfie circuit. So what's it really like to be involved in the beef industry? You've got Christmas coming up here shortly. Everybody's going to be looking for prime ribs or New York strips, and we'll talk about those in the show. But we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty with that, with my old friend Will Homer, who's the COO of Painted Hills Natural Beef. Will hails from beautiful downtown Fossil, and our music this week is from the Eagles. I just thought I would throw that in there, a little Hotel California to get us started. And, of course, how about this for timing? Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you're proud to serve your family and friends, and you can feel good about. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, buddy, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
You come to the big city.
I'm lost.
Well, you get over here quite a bit, though.
You travel. I do. I travel. I'm experienced. I get around.
Yeah. You're not one of those ones that sit on top of the hill in Seneca and say, I'm never going to that big city.
No.
No. I've talked to you and been with you in some other towns, too. Okay. Give us the background story, Will, on Painted Hills and how it got started.
Well, Painted Hills Natural Beef is 20 years old now, which is crazy to
That's an old cow.
Oh, it's amazing. It's unbelievable. And it's really the dream of my father and my mother. And back in the 90s, the beef business was a disaster. It was really a wreck. It was all about raising the biggest animals as fast as you could because the price was terrible.
Sure.
And as that rolled down to the cow calf, the little guy in the on the pasture that my parents were at the time, there was no money left, and it was a tough world to live in. And so them, along with six other ranchers, I guess it was, and it got together and kind of put their nose down and created this idea that they're going to do cattle slower, no hormones, no antibiotics, do it on their own. And it was a struggle. Boy, I tell you, it was a big struggle. But my dad, the dreamer, and never say no. And he did some things that were just unbelievable today for a business person today. It's a typical story, you know, upside down, a pile of money. And,
yeah.
And say yes to business that you didn't know you could do. And he did it, and he made it work. And here we are today, 20 years later.
Well, I believe that. I know your dad.
Yeah.
And Merton Homer. And I don't think he's a guy that ever says no.
No. He was just in the office yesterday talking to me about export, and there's no no in his communication.
Yeah, yeah. He's a very interesting guy, and I say that with all deference to him because getting to know him over the years, I'm always amazed at what he'll, you know, he kind of stares off into space once in a while and he goes, you know, I wonder why you can't do this.
Yep.
Or X.
Absolutely.
You know, like that. And then you can tell the wheels are going. And so you might as well just either sit there, get up and leave and come back later because he's going to be focusing on that for
Absolutely.
A while in his mind.
Absolutely.
But that's great. So when you did this, he's 20 years old, nobody had really jumped on board yeah, with the no hormones, no antibiotics, no styrofoam, as I like to say, all that stuff. It was fairly new.
It was a new idea. It really came through Mel Coleman Sr. and Wild Oats Grocers. And we used to have Wild Oats here in the Northwest,
right.
So people probably recognize that name. And that was kind of the beginnings way back when. And we really tried to just say we had something different. We have Wheeler County beef when we started, you know, Wheeler County, Oregon, the least populated in the state.
What, you got 3,000 people in that county?
1,500. Maybe, on a good day. Maybe in deer season.
Yeah.
So, we started with Wheeler County beef. Didn't have any much light, didn't have anything special to bring to the people. So we took the hormones and the antibiotics out of production, and what we found was we slowed the process down. We had to feed cattle longer. They had to kind of be around longer. We had to be nice to them, you know, which you have to do anyway. That's what we do. But you had to just kind of make life good for them, because you didn't have you couldn't get them sick and give them a shot and get them back well again and go forward.
Which was kind of standard operating.
Which is standard, yeah. You know, and they're still in the world of beef today. It's so huge and it's so hard for people to understand how big it is. But you got to keep animals healthy, and you keep them healthy by the way you treat them, first of all. But if you have a mishap and something gets ill, there's plenty of medications, just like your Walgreens, that can straighten things back up and keep the animal happy and healthy and going forward. And we took that out because there became an awareness to antibiotics and antibiotic use back in the 90s,
right.
2000s, and people, and we just basically say, look, let's minimize the exposure to antibiotics. We'll just take it out of the process, and we'll sort those cattle that get ill out of the program, and we'll just provide you the ones that don't get ill, because we think we do a good enough job that's a small percentage, 2 to 3%. So we can afford that. If we got them, if they all got sick and there was, you know, 80% of them got sick and they all fell, I mean, we don't have a program. That's just, it's that simple.
Yeah. So. But you take those other ones and you can sell them off to somebody.
Oh, yes. The industry is huge. The industry is a huge, people don't, this is what's crazy, is the hamburger business is huge.
Right.
And Painted Hills, we're 1/10 of 1% of the entire industry. And the entire industry is currently harvesting 600,000 head of cattle a week.
That's a lot of beef. That's a lot of beef.
We import beef because we don't have enough for hamburger.
Yeah.
We export beef because we make too many nicer things that they want outside of the United States. It's a big industry. So, you know, just the fact that you can operate in it and do what we've done way back when we started, the meat guy and the meat manager and the meat shop, he didn't want to cut different kinds of beef, different tiers, different levels. He didn't want to keep anything sorted. He just wanted the cheapest to present it to his customer out on the case. And that was the world in the 90s and early 2000s. And what happened was they found out that the consumer really was aware. And the consumer really did want to know what was going on. And we brought them that other tier. And we actually communicated with the consumer better than we did the meat manager, and forced the meat manager to have to bring it in because the consumer was asking for it.
Right.
And that's what my parents did, and that's what we did early on in this program, is the demo in the store, handing the product across the counter to someone who said, that's good. And we created that demand that pulled it through the store.
You know, I've done a bunch of those demos for you over the years. Always had fun doing them. But it was really interesting to me when you actually put a piece of beef on a toothpick, that's the way we serve them, in somebody's mouth that was Painted Hills, and they could taste the difference.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't cover it up with seasoning and stuff, a little salt and pepper kind of stuff, you know. But we just cooked it and gave it to them and told the story. And I can't tell you how many times in doing that, took that person right over to the meat case or the fresh cut counter and said, talk to Bill back there. He'll get you what you want, or what you ate is right here and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And once they tasted it, they were sold.
Yeah.
Because it has such a unique flavor versus the big chain stores, which they're selling a lot of beef.
Yep.
But they... You couldn't, and even all the people that kind of do what you do couldn't keep like a chain like Safeway filled with natural beef for a week.
No, right.
Yeah.
No, it would be a big chunk. One time, and I could talk about Albertsons because it's all gone or whatever it's done, but one time we had the courtesy from Albertsons to actually see us over in Boise, and we went over there, and And they said, well, you know, at that time we might have had 100 grocery stores here in the Northwest and down towards San Francisco and such. And they said, oh, yeah, we're kind of interested, but we'd like to take one piece of meat, your top sirloins, and try it in our smallest store group, which is 140 stores.
Yeah.
And I, of course, I live this whole world of a whole carcass management. And so I just, thanks for the opportunity today. It was lovely in Boise.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you later.
Yeah. It's a tough deal. Hey, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Will Homer right here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to find out a little more about that prime rib you want to put on your table here in a couple weeks. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We've got Will Homer in the studio with us today. If you'd like to email us, it's Barbecue Nation, that's BBQ Nation, at alphamediausa.com. On Facebook, it's Barbecue Nation with JT. A couple of our affiliates we want to say hi to, KVI 570 up in Seattle and KPNW down in Eugene. So thanks for having us on your station and to all the listeners in your respective areas there. Talking with my buddy Will Homer, who's the COO. Of Painted Hills Natural Beef. Real quickly, how much time and effort does it take to get the product, one single steer, to market?
That's a quick and easy question.
Yeah, no. Long time.
No, typically, you know, seasonality of grass and sunshine manages a ranch. And right. So cows and calves, I call it a producer, a cow-calf guy, a rancher.
Right.
He's the guy making cows and bulls together, get calves. And he has a calf probably sometime before the grass comes. Good weather country is maybe January, February. Higher country, maybe somebody doesn't have quite that kind of ground. They have calves in April, May, maybe as late as May. And that cow raises that calf through the year. And in late and fall, October, September, he takes that calf off mom and he puts her out in the puts a calf out in pasture somewhere else, lets mom go do her turn again. And then that calf will find a source of feed at some point, will be fattened up for harvest anytime between May of the following year at 14, 16, 18 months of age, all the way through to almost March of the year after that. So 18, 24, 26 months of age.
Right.
Typically there is a hard door, so to speak, where cattle turn to be 30 months of age. And there's a point in the industry where they reclassify them. And that's not typical of the choice grade, nice high end beef that you see in the country.
Well, so, that's what you guys.
Yeah. We have that hard door. We don't go past that door.
Yeah. Well, and for the people listening, we're going to talk really quickly, and you've heard me say it a lot of times on this show. You've got prime, you've got choice, you've got select, and you've got prison grade.
Boy, there's not very many of those left anymore. You know, that's the cattle have made a distinct turn this year. And in fact, you probably see in your counter anywhere, any store has a lot more prime beef than it ever has. And what happened is years ago in 2014-15, there was a big movement of money down to the cow-calf level. So the cow-calf guys did pretty good. And they used that money to improve their genetics. And today we're starting to see that in the industry, that there's lots of prime beef available. It's cheaper than ever. There's lots of choice beef, as kind of there always is in the middle there. And then there's selects and the no-rolls and the things at the bottom that were really low-grade stuff are kind of disappearing from the marketplace. And that's good. That's healthy. That's okay. But
I think you see those in some kind of more specialty stores or the discount stores. You see some of the lower end cuts on that.
Yeah,
I know. But it's just one of those things where, you know, people talk to me about it. And I said, you know, when they used to say this was Safeway, and I can say it, Safeway Select, they're telling you right there what it was.
Yeah.
You know, they're not hiding anything from you. You just don't know what it means.
Yep. Yep.
And, but you find a lot of things now in the chain markets and then the smaller little higher end markets like that you guys supply a lot of, you know, it's always choice. It's just choice.
They've improved. It's hard to find. In fact, there's a time of year, you'll enjoy this, there's a time of year where actually select beef in the wholesale market gets to be worth more than choice for just a brief second, because there's grocery groups who are designed around select beef.
Right.
And those buyers working in the industry and distribution are out trying to find select beef, and they go to call in their favorite packer and they can't find it. They actually find themselves, all of a sudden they wake up one day and they say, dang, I've been paying more for select ribeyes than I can buy choice ones for. They fix that in a hurry. It doesn't last very long.
Yeah.
But there is a short time in the year that that happens.
Your quality control, you're pretty stringent on stuff.
Yeah, well, we...
As you can be.
Yes.
You're still dealing with live animals.
Yes.
And things,
oh, so, my goodness, yes.
You know, you can't babysit them all day long.
Yes. Well, we like to think we use the best beef available, the best cattle available here in the Northwest, primarily Oregon and a little part of Washington and maybe in this western stretch of Idaho over there. Very great cattle to begin with. Then we have a great relationship with our warehouse and such, and we provide a choice grade beef that is natural, of course, and natural is raised slower, creating a more tender, a better eating experience, better flavor. So the prime side escapes us just a little bit right now, but cattle have gotten so good, that we're working on that. This is a secret, Jeff. Don't tell anybody.
Shh, we're really working on it.
We might have that available before long. So
that would be good.
Yeah, it would be that exciting.
But you forgot to bring me my jerky today.
Oh,
no. Tell you about that. We don't have time in this segment. We'll do it in the next one. We're going to be talking about what people should look for when they're selecting a prime rib. You know, because that's always a misnomer. It's really a rib.
Yes, it's a rib,
or a rib roast, if you will.
Yes,
you know.
Yes,
it's not a prime rib.
Right. Well, it could be a prime rib.
Yeah.
The choice prime rib.
But
or it could be a select prime rib.
Yeah, that's the stuff that they bring down at your grocery store. And they said, well, we've got Painted Hills here for X, and we've got another brand name for Y price, and then we've got this for $4.49.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And they're still making $3.98 a pound on it. <you know? laughs> So it's tough, but they do that. I mean, retailers are smart. They
got to keep the lights on. I got nothing against what they do, actually.
Yeah, they just make most of the money.
Yeah, well.
I'm going to get that out of you this show. I'm going to get you to say that for once. It's like, yeah, they make the most money. Those retailers, they make the most money. It's, you know, really quickly, there's a lot of people with their hands out in the chain of beef processing.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, from the rancher to maybe goes from the breeder, if he's trying to improve the genetics, you know, selling semen, whatever, doing that, then the rancher, then the packer, then the distributor, then the grocery guy. That's a lot of people that saying, you know, put some green in my hand.
Takes a lot. And we trim a lot of that beef up. You don't get that whole steer in that case. You trim it to make it nice and pretty and it turns a little bit brown. It's got to go in the half price sale, even though that's the best kind.
Yep.
You know, how many people you know that when you did your demo ran to the half price section first? You know,
there,
that's the best stuff. So anyhow, there's a lot of loss, a lot of shrink, a lot of everything along the way. So
a little trick there.
Yes.
I made them take any of the Painted Hills product that were in the half price out.
And use it in the demo. I've done that.
Well, we'll be back with Will Homer here on Barbecue Nation. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and you're listening to The Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and our base stations here in Portland, KUFO and KXTG, The Game, 102.9. This segment of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest comes a beef product you can feel good about. And also Barclays Buy Sell Pawn. I was down there the other day, and they have some collectible silver dollars and a very excellent collection of men and women's 14 to 18 karat gold rings and necklaces and stuff for that special occasion. You might want to check them out. Also on SoundCloud, you can go to Barbecue Nation with JT. We're going to break 70,000. Before the end of the year on SoundCloud.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And if you want to email us, it's BBQNation@alphamediausa.com. And we're talking with my good friend Will Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef. He's the COO. Where's the big hat? He's got it on today here. let's go back to a little bit. We talked about quality control and stuff in the last segment, but how can people tell the difference between a product like Painted Hills beef and a lesser quality beef, especially when they're going in to buy the prime rib for Christmas? I mean, unless we're standing there shoving toothpicks in their mouth and they go, ooh, yeah, you know.
It's, to just visually look at it, I guess. You know, the one thing I've been thinking about this question, because you primed me, thank you for that.
Yeah.
And then if I was going to go buy a prime rib, I honestly wouldn't be buying a prime rib like you buy a car where you walk the lot and look at the case. I would probably walk up to my meat manager and say, hey, I'm here for my 3 pounds or my 3 ribs or my 5 ribs or my whole roast or whatever that might be. So do this. Buy some hamburger, buy something that has the Painted Hills sticker on it beforehand and take it home and see what you experience and see what you get. We're in it for the flavor and the profile, what you get. It's not necessarily that one piece because every piece is different, right? If it was the one piece laying out there and you saw 2 or 3 ribs laying out there that the store was presenting to you, I would always get the one with the most diversity. And then that is the nice cap on the outside that all of us old kind of heavy men like to eat,
full figured boys.
So full figured. Okay. So I not the one with the skinny little spinella and the big eye, but the one thing about the Painted Hills is the key feature to Painted Hills natural beef that I like to tell everybody is, you know how you go to your favorite steakhouse and you order a ribeye and you sit down and you start whittling on that thing. And by the time you get down to the eye, which is the center part, right? If you're an intelligent eater, you kind of want it to taste good the whole time. You're cutting off a little bit of the spinella or a little bit of the fat and putting it with the eye because the eye doesn't have any flavor. That's what the ajou and the horseradish is for, right?
Right.
When Painted Hills natural beef.
But that's not true in Painted
Hills. It's not. It's not like that. It's the one that you eat from one end to the other. And when you get in the heart and the eye, you're going, this still tastes good. And that's from that no hormones part. That's from slowing the process down, feeding them longer.
I got to tell you a quick story.
Yes.
First time I cooked one of your rib roasts for Christmas, and this has been 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. We still had the ranch, whole family's there, whole thing, you know, there's 14, 16 people, and it did the whole rib, and it was wonderful and all this. And my sister-in-law is giving my brother hell for eating the fat. Shouldn't eat the fat. Okay, just eat the center part, just eat the eye, you know, eat the fat like that. And so, as usual, he pays a lot of attention to her. So we're finished with dinner, and we're kind of clearing the plates. A couple of us are clearing the plates. My sister-in-law was one of them, and she's not. The kitchen and the dining room are right next to each other, so you know you're in and out in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I think
she disappears.
In the kitchen, and she's staying in the kitchen. And I walk in there, and she's pulling the fat off, and she's just eating it as fast as her little chipmunk cheeks are going. She goes, don't tell your brother. Like that. I knew I was dealing with a quality product at that point. But that's true. She was in there just giving him hell about that. I was supposed to watch him, watching his cholesterol or some crap. And then she's in there eating it like crazy. So here's a big question for you, Will.
Yes.
What determines the price at the store? And in my notes, I said, blame it on the retailers. But that's a joke between me and Will. So if you're a retailer and you're listening to this, it's nothing personal. But you don't have any control over the price in the stores.
I don't tell them what. I do have control over the wholesale price.
Right.
And ribs are a crazy game for Christmas. I'll be honest with you, it's a crazy game. I'm trying like heck to have enough rib, enough tenderloin for all the customer demands this time of year, but I can't cover it all. It's insane. But yet I have all the rest of the animal I'm dealing with all the time. So, but ribeyes could be in a store where there's two real main theories in store. Some of them run in the 18%, 25% gross, something like that. And what really is means they doubled, raise the price 50%. And then from there, they work backwards because there's shrink and there's loss and all those things. And then there's other stores that have nicer facilities. The floors are clean. You get a welcome at the door, really nice. They're gonna double the price and they're gonna work for 30% at the end. That's their own. That's where they're at. They gotta pay taxes. They gotta pay lights. They gotta have the employees.
Right, all that
good stuff. So I don't control any of that. And you kind of have the experience you want when you go in each of those. But I gotta tell you this one story. One time, we had two of these stores close together in the same small town. One of them was an 18% store. One was a 30% store down the street from each other. I got a call from a guy from the 30% store. And he says, holy cow, Will, why down the street they're selling your ribeyes for $6.99. I can't even buy them in the store for that. Why is this happening? Well, I don't know, because he bought them same price you did. I'm being fair. I'm being as fair as I can be from my seat. So I got on the phone with the other store, and I said, what's going on? How come you're selling them so cheap? And the guy says, well, gosh, he says, you know, I made money this year, and I'm going to give some money back to my customers. So I thought I'd just throw some money in the pot, and we'll sell your ribs at $6.99 this year. You know, I didn't have any control over any of that. And, boy, I was the one with the black eye.
Yeah. But the guy was doing a good thing, actually.
But he was doing a good thing.
For his community.
And absolutely. Yeah. But the only downside to that is from my seat as well is that there's a limited supply. There's only so many I can have. And in Christmas time, I'm not going to point any fingers at anybody. It's just life as we know it. But you might be a store that has hamburger and some small things on the, you know, on the case that has a nice presentation for Painted Hills Natural Beef along with the generic beef. But when you come to the store Christmas time, it's time to, you know, you've saved up for Christmas and you want to do a great thing. You know, I've been staying away from that Painted Hills beef. I've been buying the cheap stuff because it fits my pocketbook. But today I'm going to use Painted Hills because I want the best rib I can provide for my Christmas dinner. All of a sudden I have to provide 10 times more product because it's Christmas time.
Right.
And it makes my life, I'm great. I'm getting as great as you because of this craziness. So.
Yeah.
But that's why I hide out in Fossil this time of year. I don't want to, you know, hey, got any Christmas ribs? You got any? Because it's tough. It's tough to make it all work, and we'll do our best, but it's a crazy world.
Well, you guys only, what do you run, 400 head of cattle a week?
Six right now.
Six.
But
it's because of the holiday coming
it's,
up. So.
Well, we've kind of, we work with a facility. We got to project way out front, kind of guess. And right now, we're going all the way back to our earlier conversation. The cattle have gotten so good. Our beef is only the choice. We only get the choice in the box. We're actually losing part of that harvest to the primes that we don't get in a box. So we're getting fewer pieces at the end of the week at the projections that we made. And we put the numbers together for the cattle for today, last year at this time.
Yeah.
Cattle only trade one time a year in October, November, December, somewhere in there. You kind of got to prepare for almost a whole year's worth of production. You don't get to just change your mind because you've come up to an intersection. That's the other reason the big store chain is tough.
Yeah.
So we've had this plan in place. We've gotten to here. All of a sudden, the cattle overgrade is what I'm calling it. I can't get the product in a box. Out on the street we come. The good thing for the consumer is I guaranteed this price back in September when I didn't have a clue what was going to happen in December, because if this was reality, I should be charging twice what I am for ribs,
right?
Because there's fewer. But I agreed to a price.
Right.
What kind of idiot am I?
No, but that's just the way, that's the world in which you live.
It is. That's the world in which you live.
By the way, folks, I will share with you next week on that show a recipe that we did. If you can't get your hands on a Painted Hills rib, think of the strip.
Oh yeah,
I put two strips together. Remember when I did that on television, tied two strips together?
Yeah,
and it made it look like a rib, and then you can slice it off like that. It's phenomenal.
I think at my house for Thanksgiving, I really think the family comes over for the strip loin I put on the barbecue.
Yeah,
and they eat the turkey because they're supposed to.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. They take a couple bites of turkey and go
yep.
No, we did that. We did those New York strips, and we tied them together, and I seasoned them just like a prime rib and put them in there. And I did that a couple years ago, and most people won't know the difference.
Yeah.
If you prepare it correctly.
I did the strip on my black olive this year, and I just smoked it for the shortest amount of time, and then I just you wouldn't believe the amount of smoke and flavor, and it was unbelievable.
It's phenomenal.
It was.
We got to take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show and ask Will some more intriguing questions about his personal life in Fossil right after this on Barbecue Nation. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, Dr. Dave, and we've got Will Homer from, where the hell are you from? Oh, yeah, Fossil, Painted Hills Natural Beef. I was going to tell you really quick in our KCBS news. Check out their website. They've got a funny little thing on their bull sheet for Christmas. I'm not going to read it. It's kind of a poem, and you might find it kind of funny. What other things, really quickly, Will, can affect the price? We know that something might go wrong with the cattle, okay? They might get sick, the weather. But I don't think people realize that fuel and grain prices, hay prices, that thing, all affect the end price of cattle in one way or another.
Yeah, there's a lot of those things. Corn and fuel, lots of things. Right now, we're dealing with transportation issues. And transportation, not only in costs, but transportation companies are working to try and find employees, right? Yeah. Everybody's working on employees right now. We're working on a shortage of employees. So the processing, the plant that harvests the cattle works with a shortage of employees. The warehouse works on shortages. Everybody's working on shortage of employees. But the biggest thing in the cost and the price of beef that you see, it doesn't move very much in all reality. Yeah. It chases the highlighted item. So right now we're working on Christmas ribs, of course. You know, by the time we get to May, we'll be working on that strip, that New York strip steak in the case. Yep. We'll be working on chuck roasts as soon as the weather turns from summer to winter around, or summer to fall in the Northwest. We'll have guys will stop buying strip loins, and they'll buy chuck rolls because you want a chuck roast or something like that.
I know when I talk to you sometimes, I'll say ask you about something, and you'll say, yeah. And then you'll say, do you want a case of New York's? I got 400 of them.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And then your middle meats that you call it, they just stop at certain times.
Yeah, what do you think about tri-tips, right? What would I tell you about a tri-tip in July?
Can't have one for 3 years.
I haven't sold one in 4 weeks. I've got weeks worth starting to build up.
Okay, well then I'll know what to ask for Christmas. Because that truly, of everything we do, except of course for the fillets, the tri-tip's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's easy, clean. To cook and it's all that stuff. But yeah. So we got a couple minutes here. What is Will cook? Your Christmas roast. How do you do it?
Well, actually, I was talking earlier about shortages. And so I just got an email yesterday from my wife, who's across the other side of the wall, right, in our office.
Yeah.
And she says to everyone else in the room, well, Will and I don't need a Christmas rib this year for Christmas. We'll just have a strip loin instead. But...
oh, good.
But I like that. You know, I'm not a master chef by any means. I'm a throw it on my equipment, my device of whatever, and away we go. And if it fits on the black olive, then great, we're going to use that. If it fits, I rebuilt a Traeger this summer, yeah. and it works great. If it fits on that, we go. I'll rub it down with a little something. There's actually a rub out of Bend, and I haven't been to Bend in a long time, but there's a rub down there that I really like. I've got to send somebody over to get. And I can't even tell you what the heck it is. It comes out of a catering. Look up catering and Ben.
You'll find it.
It's great. It's delicious. And just rub it down. Cook it slow. Cook it low and slow. And try and stop well before you get to 130 and let it sit around. And it's perfect every time. You know, the best rib I ever cooked, you're going to love this. The best rib I ever cooked, I think my Traeger, and I bought my first Traeger used, was the old one with the pot on the side.
Sure.
That's round. I still got it. And my rib was froze solid as this table when I plonked it on there. And I'm not so sure it wasn't dark outside still. I mean, it was crazy. And when I got that done, I can't even tell you how I got it. When I got it done, it was pink all the way through. It was perfect. I don't know how I did it, but I wish I did. I need to write those things down.
Yes, you do. You need to write those down.
Yeah.
No. So. But I've eaten it. Your home, I've eaten it to your mom's home.
Oh my gosh.
And they put on a spread, and it's wonderful. Painted Hills Natural Beef, you can find it in the Seattle markets, at the Metro markets, Metropolitans.
Yeah.
Up here, down here, you can find it at like Market of Choice and a lot of the independent thriftway stores.
Yeah.
You can do that throughout the state. And Eugene, same thing, Market of Choice.
Yeah.
Probably some thriftway stores down there. And,
my
friends down in Seymour, Texas, that broadcast this show, I don't think you can find it down there. But you're not for a shortage of beef. Are you in Seymour, Texas?
No, but it might surprise us wherever.
Yeah.
It really would.
Well, it shows up when you least expect
it. Oh, my goodness. I could tell you a story.
It does that. Will, thanks for coming in.
You
I
bet.
Appreciate it. Will Homer of Painted Hills Natural Beef. Also in the studio, who didn't get much airtime today, Steve DePaula, my buddy and partner and friend from a long time. We're filming this, so you'll be able to see it on YouTube and our websites. For everybody here, I want to thank you for listening, and take care, and we will be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Take care, everybody.